Welcome to Steam Powered Scoundrels,
a Malifaux podcast. Episode 1, A Hot Mess.
In this episode, we introduce ourselves, go over news and hobby progress, games we played, and ranking the Arcanist Masters worst to best.
Yeah, if you don't put the, like, deer skull on his belt, yeah, you could get away with it.
Thrust powers.
That's kind of, that's a hunt, that is pointlessly awkward.
Yeah.
That's just going to get in your way of just normal arm swinging.
Yeah, you'd think, but it's Marcus. Whatever.
It's got to be that guy.
Yeah.
All right, so, welcome to the inaugural episode of Steam Power Scoundrels. I'm going to get that introduction in there. Maybe we'll have that casual banter beforehand, and I'll cut this in explanation of how it was planned.
Everyone loves the random banter in the beginning.
I got an idea of something to do at the beginning, but I forgot to do it now, so. I pose one extremely uncomfortable question to every guest speaker we have.
Oh, fun.
I didn't think of anything awkward for you, though, so. Oh. Got off.
Ooh. Alrighty.
So, today we have three hosts. I guess I would be the lead host. I'm Doug, also known as Kaiser Senpai on the forums.
I'm Victoria. I believe I'm Crimson Tan out on the forums.
Something like that. And our possibly guest, possibly
hostage?
Semi-permanent third voice is... Well, introduce yourself.
Alright, I'm Dave Hoffman. I think I'm Melkor on the forums. I'm not on the forum very often.
I'm on there quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think I recognize that name, though. Maybe I've seen you post stuff before.
Like the Mayhem forums and stuff.
There's a Mayhem forums on there?
Like Mayhem Comics has their forum.
Oh, okay. I was talking about Weird.
Oh, I've very rarely posted. I'm mostly a lurker. I just kind of look around, like try to find list ideas, and then peruse all the painting stuff.
Yeah, all right. So, since no one listening has any idea who the heck we are, I guess to declare factions, I am primarily a Arcanist player with some Ten Thunders models. Eventually, hopefully, I'll be able to start playing them regularly.
I'm primarily Resurrectionists. That's all I own right now.
And I am mostly Arcanist. I have some outcasty things that I haven't really played a whole lot yet. But they look cool.
Yeah. What outcasts do you have right now?
I have the Leviticus box and a cobbled-together Victoria's box with some plastic and some metal.
Okay.
Well, I guess I'm actually a liar, because I have the Victoria's box, and then I also have Pandora. But they're not put together or paint. No, they're put together, but they're not painted at all.
Yeah.
Did you get your second Victoria put together?
Yes!
First one got eaten by her brother's dog.
Ah.
So, hooray for singles.
Yeah.
Purchasing websites. Alright. Actual list of things we're supposed to talk about. News! I guess what would be considered important news? First off, the Monday previews from last week and this week. Last week being the rules being put out for free on DriveThruRPG. Just the basic rules. But now that anyone that's interested in Malifaux can actually go out and figure out how the whole game's played. Without any of the fun, fluffy stories and cards and whatnot.
Which, of course, is literally 2 days after I got the little, like, $12, like, just rulebook, so I can pull out the full rulebook from my bag to lighten it up.
We've got that floating around somewhere. Yeah. I mean, it's still useful.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you're at tournaments, it's a lot easier to flip that open instead of a PDF, but...
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it just came in the mail, and then, oh, it's free now. Cool.
Great.
It's a lot nicer than that one. I'm trying to not necessarily sell it to my friends that don't play it, but try to at least explain. I'm like, okay, well, I'm gushing about this like a little girl, but you could go out and look at the rules and see how it actually plays. And they probably ignore me, but I've got that in the back pocket.
Yeah, not related. That's kind of what helped get me into Guild Ball before I bought Guild Ball stuff.
Yeah, rules are free.
Was just looking at the rule book online.
Oh, okay.
And going, yeah, all right. It's like a mix between War Machine and Malifaux with all the dice.
All the dice?
Yeah, you roll tons of dice.
How much is a ton of dice?
I play the Morticians, and I think Kazette, which is their weird, like, kamikaze player. I think the highest I've rolled was, like, 11 dice at once.
Okay. So, a lot of dice for a skirmish-type size game.
Yeah, because you're trying to hit target numbers. So, you're trying to, like, roll higher than a 3 or a 4 to hit something.
Okay.
Then you have just more dice for more chances.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah, no, my short stint with 40K was considerably more dice, especially with a whore-type army like the Imperial Guard, which is what I was trying to do.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
But we are getting way off topic already. We're going all over the place.
Oh, that's fine, yeah.
I'm sure with subsequent episodes we'll actually learn to focus, dial it down, and get into the nitty-gritty. But the newest, most recent Monday preview is the Vintage Models, which is 7, one for each faction, models that were of older metal style, as far as I know, yes?
Yeah. Yeah, I think some of them were, like, limited. I can't remember if I wasn't around for first edition, so...
I'm around for first or 1.5.
Yeah, so I can't remember if some of them were from the alternate versions, or if these were the ones that came in the original kits.
I know it's not the original Raspy.
Okay, because I was actually kind of hoping for Raver Raspy to come back. I've been kind of looking for that one online a little bit, and I can't find it.
I'm looking at the old style models. I would not be nearly as interested in that game back then as I am now.
It depends on the sculpt. There's a couple that I like more in the old metal style than the new one. Like, I like Taylor a lot from the Outcasts.
I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yeah, she has the cool, in the new one, she has like a cool, like she's slamming a hammer down thing.
Uh-huh.
But in the old one, she just like has a hammer in her hands, like calling, like pointing and calling.
Nice. Cut out there for a sec.
Did I?
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully our internet's not.
I think you had your head pointed away from the mic.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, like some of the models I like more, and I like the Student of Conflict a little bit more with metal than the plastic.
I'll pull these guys up if I got them.
Yep.
All right, just for the record, we got Misaki, Rasputina in her floaty, roby version.
She looks real cool.
McMorning just putting a glove on, looking sinister, I guess. Hamelin, and I had to guess that was Hamelin because I haven't seen his older models. Mm-hmm. And this is considerably a big departure from what he has now. Possibly Avatar Pandora? I know it's Pandora.
Yeah, that one's Avatar Pandora.
Right. Sonya Crit and Summer T. Jones. And I actually forgot what normal Summer looks like, because this vintage model was my mental picture of Summer. And yeah, I can see people being really excited for these coming out. Especially Misaki, because I've heard plenty of people complain about Swoosh Kick Misaki, especially as far as putting her together. Raspy is a lot more grandiose than her current model. I like Hamelin doesn't have a face in this one.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool. I don't really like the McMorning one compared to the new one.
The only thing I don't like about the new one is he's carrying around a tray everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
But you could probably just not put that head on there. Have him some, like, nice glasses filled with champagne or something.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got other jobs.
I'm not actually sure what the new Sonya Crid looks like.
She's got the metal mask, got the sword on fire, and a lantern?
Okay.
I think. I think I like the new one better as well. But we'll get back to Raspy later on. And those will be coming out as prize support, as I believe was what I read, for tournaments. And you'd also be able to use the guilders that they're passing out now for tournaments to purchase them as well. I'm not, like, none of these are sort of a gotta-have for me. That Raspy would be nice, but other than that, I mean, I can see why people are freaking out.
Yeah, if I were into more Ten Thunders or Outcasts, I think I'd be chopping up a bit more to get them. Our Raspy is pretty cool, but not really super essential.
No. But, you know, if you want it, you want something cooler. And it's not going to affect the way you play the game at all.
No, it's more for very just important aesthetic, yeah. It's not like she'll be on a bigger base or anything.
No. Yeah. Which, are there any masters that are not on 30 millimeters?
I don't think so. I think they're all females.
Not for Arcanist, at least. I have them all here. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Well, doesn't Dreamer turn into Lord Chompy Bits?
Chompy Bits I don't know if that's his henchman or if it's his totem. I think it's his totem.
But I think Dreamer disappears off the board.
Yeah.
He gets buried, I think.
Then the mechanics are that they can't exist on the table at the same time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Chompy Bits is not a master, does not have the master rank.
Yeah. That's the only one I can think of that would change base sizes for...
That would be nice if Book 4 comes out with a base size, a master on a different base size. Or, what I think would be cool is if some of the new models have, like, some sort of mechanic that depends on base size.
From what I was reading early on, was that's what the avatars were. A lot of them were on 40 or 50 mil bases.
Yeah.
Which is now being replaced by the emissaries.
Yes. Well, if you do campaigns, you can still get avatars.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That's not tournament legal.
Yeah.
But I was thinking something like, if you have like a big-ass model on a 50mm base, and it says it can do some sort of like push mechanic, but only on 30mm base models, I think that might be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Iron Painter's going on. You aren't participating, but that's not judgmental in any way.
I just have so much on my painting block as it is that doing special projects would be a little unwieldy, I think.
It's a little painful for me because now I can't, like, paint anything. I'm afraid that I'll want it for the next round. I don't think I'm going to get past this one, though. I'm just not... After round two, they really start weeding people out, and I would consider myself middle of the pack at best. And while I like this theme, the current theme, the third round theme is Weird Science, WYRD.
Okay.
If you didn't know, they're going with an 80s movie overarching theme for the theme. Mm-hmm. So first round was Pretty in Pink. Second round was Better Off Undead.
Gotcha.
Third round was Weird Science. First round was the Cerberus.
Yeah.
With the bows on its hair, it's being pink and adorable and selling you delicious breakfast cereals. I did not know how to take pictures. I wasn't know what I was supposed to be presenting, so I got a very poor score on that. And I admit to it. Second round was Toshiro, which I added to him to a cherry blossom tree base. Didn't actually get to add him to it.
Yeah.
But I'll put him on there later. But that was, I didn't really have much inspiration with that one, but I got a higher score because I actually took pictures and put more of them together in like a collage.
Yeah, did you like build out a light box and all that?
Actually, I bought one.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And then my super high-powered lamp, one of them burned out, or it's just not working. So it's kind of a dim picture.
Yeah.
And then this round, which I'll admit to what I'm doing because the thing will basically be over by the time this gets out. If it gets out, hopefully it'll get out. I'm doing Scientist Howard Langston.
Okay.
So we've green stuff like a lab coat on him.
Mm-hmm.
With the chest opened up because he does sit-ups.
Well, yeah.
He's got to show those off.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to make like test tubes and Erlenmeyer flasks and all that jazz to put him in his little claw arms.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then we were going to have some sort of, like, diorama thing of something on a table, like, blowing up or setting on fire or whatnot, because he has the weird pose, which you could probably sell as him, like, blocking his face from an explosion or something.
Sure, okay.
Because that's a weird pose otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have mine posed so he's, like, climbing up a hill, so that weird claw pose looks a bit more... It makes a bit more sense, but, yeah, it's still a weird pose.
When I'm done with him, I'll try and trade him for, like, a blank model, because I actually want to make, like, a chef Howard Langston.
Mm.
Like, he's flipping burgers or something. Basically, my headcanon is that Howard Langston doesn't actually like to fight. He's just got turned into a murder kill bot, and they sort of force him to do it. But really, he just wants to cook.
Yeah, now he's just a sous chef with, like, scissor hands.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't he be great at that job?
Yeah, just be hanging around, cutting up some celery with those knife hands.
Show up to a hibachi grill.
Yeah, be fine.
Doing tricks and shit.
Fit right in.
Yeah. I love Howard Langston.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Not even from, like as a as a model, as in-game, he's great.
Yeah.
But they went from calling him, you know, Steamborg Executioner to Howard Langston. They gave the guy a backstory. Kind of a sad backstory. And it's fun to take these characters and just sort of play around with what they do in your head. I've got a lot of those.
I need to see if I can still get my misstep for April. Because that's why I bought Marcus, was to get the misstep for April.
I bought mine Black Friday. I got it before I got Howard Langston, actually.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to put a hat on her and make her pretty.
Yeah, I've been kind of collecting all the female variants. So I've got the alt Firestarter, there we go.
Yeah!
Here, put together.
Nice.
And this model just looks way cooler than the stock one.
Yes.
Because it's just a dude with a fire can hanging out.
I agree. Yeah. 100% better.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that bothered me is getting off topic. Never mind. Maybe we'll go back to it later.
I mean, it is a hobby podcast, so.
Do we have a topic right now?
Well, we're sort of going over news. We were talking about the Iron Painter, and then I got off on the tangent about Howard Langston.
Yeah, hobbies.
And the only other thing I wanted to mention was that they're still doing the Iron Quill competition, which I don't know if you know what that is.
I vaguely heard of it, actually, today. That's kind of like their, people are just making up short stories and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of a community-run contest where they have people do short stories. And they'll usually set out a theme and give you a list of things, and you have to include, like, three of those things in your story somehow.
Okay.
So there's a bit of challenge to it. You just don't write a story.
Okay.
And so I was considering at some point doing, like, a Tales of Malifaux type reading of these. And I got someone's permission to do it, but I'm having a very hard time trying to actually convey it. I'll try and figure it out.
Yeah. Huh.
Right. Done with news. Hobby progress.
Sure.
What hobby progress have you made,
Dave? I keep assembling and primering things and then not painting them.
Yep. Yep.
I painted a whole bunch before that tournament we were in, and then didn't touch a brush forever. I recently started getting into painting up my Rasputina crew now that everything's actually out.
Yeah.
So I've got kind of all the actual people are going to be wearing like a deep purple kind of thing, but the beasts are all going to be painted a little bit different. Like Blessed of December, the one with Leap. I'm getting inspiration from like an elk up in the Arctic.
It's got the antlers.
Yeah. Where it's got like the white fur, but it's kind of like a dirty brown mixed in kind of thing. So I think that'll be fun to have dry brush in.
This looks more like a natural Malifaux creature instead of a weird purple antler beast.
Yeah. Because, the actual artwork's like a big purple people eater kind of thing.
It's not nearly the weirdest thing in the Malifaux game.
No, not at all. There's lots of weird, weird things.
At least you're not using Luther. That would be...
I thought about getting that, but I couldn't get a friend of mine to split it with me. Because I think it was... was it a Rezzer model, or...
Ten Thunders. Technically, it's Zama, so it's Rezzer and Ten Thunder.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. Because he's a Rezzer player, so I was trying to split it with him, but he's like, I don't really care about that model, so I didn't pick it up.
He doesn't care about Zama, or just he doesn't want a big turtle?
He didn't want the big turtle.
I want the big turtle. I think that would be great, because then you can use Zama strictly for Rezzers, and...
Yeah.
Crap, what is his name? Genbu.
Yeah.
Ten Thunders.
Because
he fits in. I mean, I can understand the dual factionness, but Yin and Izamu feel more Rezzery than Ten Thunders.
Yeah. And you can kind of get away with a big creature thing for the big turtle.
Ninja Turtles?
Kind of fits.
I don't know why Luther fits in with the Arcanist. People were complaining that he's not Neverborn. I love his story, though. Did you read his story?
I read a little bit about it. Crap, because it replaces which model? Was it
Blessed?
Was it for Blessed?
Yep.
Well, that kind of works with because he can be taken with Marcus as a beast.
Yeah.
So just a big fluffy angry bunny thing, which goes with the jackalope. It kind of works if you don't think about it.
Oh, so how are you doing your ice gammon and golem? It's just gonna be all blue.
I'm still gonna poke around with that a little bit. I haven't really. I have them with a color of blue, and that's it. But I'll probably just use my blue ink that I just bought somewhere around here. And then probably like dry brush with a light blue.
Yeah.
Keep it pretty simple.
Whenever I get around to them, I'll probably do like off blue colors. My issue with any of like the three things you get that are more or less exactly the same, which would be any of the gammon,
mm-hmm.
is trying to identify them on the table and keep them straight. So all of my fire gammon and my metal gammon, which I have now, are all painted different colors. Oh. And so I would do like a purplish blue ice gammon, a straight blue ice gammon, maybe like a greenish blue ice gammon.
Mm-hmm.
Then black ice for the golem, because that sounds cool to me.
Yeah, that's my issue, because last semester I played was Ramos, and with all the spiders.
All of them?
Trying to remember which spider was which, marking damage.
Well, the one with 11 limbs is Howard.
Well, the tiny spiders.
You think he ever think Ramos got a little overzealous with Howard Langston?
No.
I mean, he has a hard time counting.
I mean,
most of his spiders having four legs.
Well, I mean, there's the brass arachnid. Are the large arachnid just four?
I don't know. Did those just come out this
month? Yeah, those just came out.
They did.
I haven't picked them up yet.
I'll need to get some. But then Howard, he just went insane.
Well, he wanted a murder bot.
Does the murder bot need 11 yes. limbs?
Why not?
I'm thinking, it is 11, right? Got five
legs
because he's part starfish, I'm assuming. Sure.
And six legs?
And then the crab claw and the wolverine claw.
Yeah.
For his actual human arms.
And then his
Dr. Octopus arms.
Yeah.
11.
I forgot he had five legs. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. he just ran out of legs trying to go for six.
I know he's supposed to be the leader of the Miners and Stampeders Union, but I always picture Ramos being slightly senile and insane. Yeah. With a weird obsession with spiders.
Yeah, because... He's carrying a spider, and he makes, like, the brass arachnid, and kind of a creepy dude.
He's got a theme, and he sticks to it, so
yeah.
There's at least that.
He just watched a lot of Wild Wild West. I just really like that.
Oh, geez. You think that's what the Leviathan was? In the did you call the fluff at all?
Oh, I hope so. Just big old steam robot spider.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what's going to be in my head now. Got any other hobby stuff to talk about?
No, I'm just still trying to figure out, because I still have my Colette box to paint, touching up my Karis a little bit. But yeah, just basing Marcus and trying to... I have a big spreadsheet that has all my models that are painted and not painted, and it looks real sad. I'm at like 20%, I'm at like 20% Malifaux painted.
Oh.
So I need to kind of up that a little bit.
I'm sitting maybe... 30-40% painted.
Mine is abysmal. So don't
even Hey, what about your hobby progress?
Yeah.
So, I did have all my models put together, and then I got Yanlo, and some Night Terrors, and my Doxies. I actually only have one box of Doxies to put together again, out of two, because I did put one set together. My Drowned are all finally put together solidly, so they're not falling apart anymore, and they're all primed to go. I started painting Terra and Karina. Their whole box is put together and primed. But someone promised that he'd do my Griblies, and,
Griblies is what we call the Void Wretches.
Sorry.
I have two of them done.
Yeah.
I haven't finished the third one yet.
Yeah. What was my most recent ones that I finished? My bells.
More bells.
More bells.
Six bells now?
Six bells. Well, no, I have five bells now because you wanted to do my sixth bell.
Oh, yeah. That's my fault.
So those two are done and I'm very happy with them, but I'm moving on to Terra now. I had to green stuff her butt quite a bit because there was this big old, like, seam.
A crack?
Right in the middle. And it's not supposed to be there.
Was it just assembly or a weird mold line that wouldn't play nice?
It wasn't like a mold line. It was just kind of a weird assembly doobly. Like, I don't know what happened with it, but it just kind of separated while it was drying.
And of course, like all true hobbyists, you did drill a hole through Tara's chest.
Of course.
As I
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we drilled a hole just right through her.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know,
like you're supposed to.
Like everyone does.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Right.
And you've been helping me a little bit with the iron painter stuff.
Yep.
That's what I've mostly been doing. Do you have something else?
I'm just thinking about the iron painter thing. I need to get a hot glue gun.
Yes.
And I feel like you should talk about the mold line remover, because that is a magic little thing.
We're not to commercials yet. But
we could.
Off the record, the Citadel mold line remover is actually a very, very useful tool.
It's amazing.
Huh.
Most of the Citadel stuff is dreadfully expensive and not worth any better than anything else. But they're the only ones I found that has the mold line remover, and it looks weird. It's just sort of like a duck head kind of looking thing. You just use it, and it just scrapes off plastic really well.
Okay.
Smoothly. So all the little nubs and whatnot that you have after pulling things off the sprue, you can actually smooth out considerably better. And mold lines. Oh. Mold lines will just disappear under the thing.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. My doxies had some really bad mold lines on their legs, and now they're beautiful. Or as beautiful as doxies can be.
Dead hogers.
Yeah, the last big one I had issues with is the Slate Ridge Mauler for Marcus and all the beasts.
Yeah.
Is an awful model to put together.
Oh, why?
Like, the body is split in half vertically down the middle.
Uh-huh.
So the whole thing just has a... I'm not sure if it'll pick up. I don't think it will.
Oh, yeah, one of those.
Oh, wow. Huge line. Yeah, I tried to fix it with some green stuff over, or gray stuff over here, but it's still just, yeah, it was just an awful cleanup. Like, the head doesn't fit right, doesn't fit well.
Oh, no.
I just now noticed that the foot here in the back, the ankle is just nothing there. I was not very impressed with that one.
In general, though, weird models are pretty nice to put together.
Usually, yeah, yeah. That's why I was surprised.
Yeah, in comparison to
most other things.
Yeah.
But anyways, getting on to me, the important person. My hobby progress has mostly been tied up in Iron Painter and not painting things that I might someday use for Iron Painter. But I still have a lot of un-put-together stuff. So I've been kind of, you know, poking at that every once in a while. I still have most of the Translucent Dark Depths put together. Marcus. I have a Samurai left to do. Joanna, the Alt Katanaka Sniper, like a few other stuff.
Yeah, and then we've got some stuff that you're not putting together because you want to sell it. And...
You okay?
Yeah, I'm alright.
You gotta speak up.
Just, well, you know, cold stuff and trying to make sure I'm not sneezing right into the microphone.
And then, like you, I have a ton of unpainted crap.
Yeah.
Marcus's crew, I've got to strip Shenlong and Sensei Yu and repaint them now that I know how to do cloth better.
Oh, speaking of redoing things, I'm going to rebase my entire Seamus crew.
Nice. Victoria here has, like, an actual talent for basing, and I have her do most of my stuff.
Hmm. Yeah, it really depends on the group that I'm building. And, like, with the Victorias, I'm still not sure, like, just looking at them. Which one's the actual leader?
One with the gun.
Where'd the other one go? Not that one, then.
The one that's wearing the lobster bib and nothing else is the henchman. Or the peon. I don't. I think it's henchman.
She's a henchman. Yeah, she's not a peon. She's a henchman. Blood is the henchman. Ashes is the master.
Yeah. But, like, just, like, looking at them, it's like, I'm not really sure which is which. But now that I have them at about the same height.
Okay.
And then I just have really big bases for them, because that's fun. And then the Ronins are all awkward to paint, because they're pretty much wearing nothing.
But also all the tiny things.
Also that.
Yeah.
I'm doing a Sailor Moon theme for my Vix crew. Yeah.
Oh, that works, yeah.
Since, you know, most of them are practically naked anyway.
Yeah, they're just mid-transformation.
I have no idea how that applies to the Sailor Sentry.
They basically wear nothing.
And when they transform, they get naked.
That too.
Okay, that I can get behind.
I mean, have you looked at the fuku?
Yes. It mostly covers everything from here to here. You got the thighs, though, but other than that, she's also stealing basically my entire whorecat pride.
Oh, yeah.
And by stealing, I mean I'm giving it up because I think having the cats on the base with the Vix would be fun. You probably don't know a lot about Sailor Moon.
I watched it. I watched it a bit. I wasn't, like, huge into it. I've seen a little bit of it.
Or, you know, just get me another Victorian accessory set, because that came with a cat.
No, because...
No?
I want a cat for whenever I get Rasputina, because she has a whore cat as well.
Oh, okay. So we'll just whore cats, okay.
Yeah.
What? Because I bought the whore cat Pride. I still don't know what good they are, because they're kind of expensive.
Raider uses them for scheme running, because the manipulative is pretty nice. I got them because it's a bunch of kitties. And I'm putting all three of them on a base. I know the different cards have a single cat on them, but that's not what a swarm is. That's not what a pride is.
No, not at all. Yeah. I assemble mine and start looking at the cards. I'm like, I'm not sure where to bring these. Maybe Marcus, maybe... I've heard Rasputina because... I can't remember if they had Frozen Heart. I think it's something that goes with her.
Well, in the fluff, she has a whore cat, so...
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's where it's from.
And let's get to the meats, the thicks, the stuff that everyone's going to be clamoring for from steam-powered scoundrels.
Top 7 list.
Top 9.
9, technically, because we did.
Did you not do 9?
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's 7.
But...
seven leaders.
Well, we're going strictly, getting ahead of yourself. We'll do a short break, I guess, and then come back and do the Arcanist Masters rank top best to worst. Worst to best.
Cool.
Some order.
We'll decide. All right.
Bye-bye. Welcome back to the second segment of Steam Powered Scoundrels. First episode. We got Dave here still. He hasn't left.
Tried. They wouldn't let me.
And we're going to give a hearty college try to...
staying on topic.
Staying on topic and doing a list. Doing, in this case, a top 9 list.
Okay.
Of the best Arcanist Masters. And some people might be curious why I'm saying top 9. And I am specifying top... 9, because we are only judging them on their sculpt alone. Because none of us are good enough to say who's the best and who's the worst. But we all have eyes, so we can do it by visuals.
Okay.
So, top 9, because we have the 7 standard masters. Rasputina, Ramos, Marcus, Colette, Mayfang, Karis, and Ironsides. I think that's 7.
Yep.
And then I'm also including the, what just came out today, the vintage Rasputina, because it's considerably different than the current Rasputina, and will also be plastic, so we'll use the has-to-be-plastic rule. And we're also including Mr. Cooper from the Dark Carnival Nightmare Edition of Colette, because he doesn't look like Colette. Thank goodness. So, again, since I'm the specialist of snowflakes... We will discuss around my list, but I want to hear your guys' lists first, starting at number 9, going down to number 1. Dave, if you could start us off.
Okay. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait, crap. Get mine mixed up here.
Never mind. Victoria.
Yeah, I'll start.
Okay. Oh. Now I'm where
Dave's ready. He can go.
Yeah, okay. For number 9 for me, I'm putting Rasputina.
It's the original? I mean, well, the plastic.
The current Mark II plastic you can get in the box today.
I'm slightly cold Rasputina.
It's just, she doesn't really seem very leaderish. She just kind of seems cold.
Yeah.
From there, I would say Mark II Colette, because we were discussing this a little bit earlier. If I didn't know this was Colette, I could easily say she'd be a performer or anything but the actual master. After that, Marcus, because it's just kind of he's just a dude hanging out.
Being slightly unclothed.
Yeah.
Has an affinity for skulls.
Which, I mean, there's plenty of models that are just standard minions and enforcers that are kind of like that.
Yeah.
From there, I'd say Mr. Cooper. It's a cool sculpt, and it's definitely an improvement over Colette, but still not one of my favorites. Then I would do Ironsides. Again, she's more dynamic than like Rasputina and Marcus, and I just like the character more herself.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Plus, just she's one of the better models I've painted. So I'm a little partial there. After that is the vintage Rasputina, because that one looks pretty rad. I'd be more apt to field that if I lucked out and got her. Then Old Man Ramos, because the way I have him based it, he actually makes a little bit more sense to me. He's just up on a big like pillar, looking out and figuring out what can be made into a spider. After that, I'm gonna do.
Everything needs more legs.
Yeah. I could add like two more legs here, four more here, just one over there. Then from there, Mei Fang. I do like her like crashing into it's a wall or a crate or something. I like that kind of makes her look really powerful. And then for my favorite is gonna be Karis.
Nice.
Because she just looks like something more of a leader, more of a big deal to pay attention to than the others.
Cool. All right. Somewhat close to my list. What about you, Victoria?
All right, starting from the bottom. I also put Rasputina down at the very bottom because, like you said, she just looks cold. She doesn't look special to me at all. For number 8, I have Ironsides. I don't know. I guess to me, she just has kind of a minion-y look about her. I mean, honestly, looking at the Ironsides box, if I had to pick, I would point the captain out as the leader, as opposed to
Ironsides. Cough, you're taking all my talking points, Cough.
Sorry. You want me to just do my list and shut up?
Maybe.
Number 7, I have Marcus. I just think he's boring. And then I have Colette. I'll wait to discuss Colette when we do yours, special snowflake. Then Ramos. Then Mr. Cooper. And then I have Mei Fang, because I think she's pretty neat, too. Karis. And then as my number 1, I actually have Vintage Raspi, because I think she's really cool. She's got this grandiose thing going on.
Cool. So actually, not a whole huge difference between all of our lists. At least, it's generally situated in the right way. We all kind of generally have the same opinions. For me, the most important opinion, I actually have Ironsides as the worst.
Wow.
Yeah, she is my favorite Arcanist Master, but quite a few problems I have with the sculpt. I like that she's obviously trying to box, but the problem is that she's extremely compact. With her arms tucked in, her head kind of down, and her legs together, she doesn't take up a lot of space. And then there's a big issue if you view her with her box, and that's what was usually my biggest deciding factor is how do they look compared to the rest of their box?
Mm-hmm.
And the captain takes up a lot more room as far as look of importance, sort of a master-like quality. I think if Tony was like in mid-strike or doing some kind of pose, I mean, not a lot of people love dynamic skulls, but just have her doing something that draws a little bit more attention to her would make her a lot better. After that, I have Colette, which we all, number 8, Colette. And that's because, yeah, she looks exactly like a performer.
Yeah.
You stand her up with the rest of her box. And she's a little bit more detail to her, a little bit more skin than the other performers. So it might be a confusion between who's the henchman, between her and Cassandra.
She's difficult to pick out of a group of performers if you have them all bunched together.
And if you bring Angelica with, I think Angelica looks way more like the leader of a group.
Do not start.
I won't start.
The rest of the entire box.
Okay, I'll say it, and I apologize. Angelica's box art gave me the impression that she might be a transvestite.
Hey.
That's all I'm saying, so just every time we talk about Angelica, I giggle a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I can see it.
Ironsides, 9, Colette, 8. Number 7, which I put ahead of everyone else, Classic Raspi.
I just don't see it.
Yeah, I understand. It's just lining her up with the rest of her box. It's obvious who the master is because everything else is an ice dude.
I guess, yeah. But if you put her in with, like, her December acolytes and the silent ones and that kind of stuff, she doesn't really stand out.
Well, the other guys have masks. The problem would be Snowstorm.
Yes.
And yeah. If you put them up with, put Snowstorm on there, yes, it's going to take up a lot more space. But just because, but Snowstorm doesn't come with her box. And that my criteria was really just the box.
That's fair, I guess. I still just think
still number seven.
Not an interesting model at all.
We're fighting. number six, I have Marcus. Mm. Also, with his box, it's obvious who the master is, because he's the only human that's standing upright. He actually takes up a lot of space with the staff and the fact that he's very broad. He commands a decent amount of attention.
Yeah.
But that's all he really has going for him. There's, I guess, not a ton of flash, but there's not really a lot that he does that would be stupendous. I mean, if you want to sort of make Raspi look super cool, you could have some ice effects or something. Marcus doesn't really have that.
You can do a lot with basing to make the masters really pop out and make more sense.
Yeah, but we were kind of going just based on the sculpt, not really on...
Basing can help anything.
Oh, yeah.
Cover him in a flock of squirrels. He's the Beastmaster. Marcus. After Marcus, I actually have Mei Fang, which is the lowest that she's gotten between us. And I like the sort of explosion-y thing she's got going on with her sculpt. My sort of little problem with that is I don't know if it's like she's hitting the ground and it's causing enough of a force to have like everything blow up and send her into the air, or if she's like riding a tide of timbers. That slightly confused me. And she's kind of small, like herself. She's small. A lot of that sculpt is dedicated to the timbers that she's kicking up. Yeah. If they did what I did, which I think it makes her 100% better. I think you've seen this.
I think so.
They put the wide brimmed hat that comes with the rail workers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I put that on top of her, sort of chopped off the top of her head and her bun.
Yeah,
and put the hat on there. I think that makes her a lot more intimidating and a lot more interesting to look at. But the only thing I think she really has going for her is just that kick.
Which, I mean, that's where you get most of her workout, is from that jackhammer kick. She's like the Chun-Li of the Arcanists. And I did with mine was I added more chunks of wood.
Oh, yeah.
So more dynamic, more explosion. I kind of went more the Michael Bay route than...
There's nothing wrong with a little bit of Michael Bay. In moderation.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? Well, I guess she wouldn't be riding it. But if she was kicking the ground, wouldn't, like, her focus be down?
No, she's too cool.
she knew that they were taking a picture for the sculpt.
Yeah. She's kicking her way through a floor or a box.
The ceiling.
And she's like, yeah, I'm doing this.
That's how she enters a building.
Yeah.
Just kicks a hole in the ceiling.
Yeah, just destroys the first floor, every building she goes into. It's fine.
Small price to pay for being cool. But yeah, I guess I really sort of see her very similar to Ironsides, but, Mei Fang has the benefit of looking at having a much more cool thing going on. And Kang doesn't really look like a master. I mean,
I've never used him.
You don't?
No.
Oh, Mei Fang's my go-to for Razors, usually.
Kang it? Oh, yeah, because of the... Yeah.
And then also for Guild quite often because she farts steam.
Yeah. Guns, yeah. That plus Howard.
Yeah, I actually bring Howard around a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mei Fang was my number five. Number four, Mr. Cooper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
And that's...
Oh, I had...
I had
Mr. Cooper before, too.
Nice. You had Vintage Raspi! Just a reminder.
Yep.
Mr. Cooper... it's kind of hard. Not really hard to explain. Again, going along with the box, I mean, obviously when you see sort of a carnival act...
You can definitely tell.
You're expecting the ringleader to be the ringleader.
Yeah. You can definitely tell he is the leader of the box.
He's not doing a whole ton, but at least there's like a breeze blowing his scarf.
Yeah.
I wish they gave him like a top hat to be holding and a cane or something.
I don't know. Something about the way he's posed is just like really super intimidating to me. Although it's possible it's just a weird me thing, but he looks very sinister to me, so.
I think that's what they're going for with the Dark Carnival idea.
Well, it's a Nightmare Edition, so it's gotta be spooky.
Yeah.
The story is kind of depressing.
I don't think I've gotten to that fluff yet.
It was again when one of the magazines. It's sad. Okay, number three. Again, lowest out of all of us, Karis.
Really?
Yes. And, again, this is number three, so there's only two things beating her. Still very high on the list. I guess my gripe really is the midriff doesn't 100%.
She's got a midriff is what's bothering you.
It's just a tripping point. Again, this is third place. It's good. The wings are amazing. The wings take up so much space. All the eyes go directly to her. It's just the midriff that just makes me take her slightly less serious. And that, and for her being like the fire thing, the fire wizard, and there not being a bit of fire on her sculpt, and I realize that the alternate has her like shooting one out, but that's also kneeling, and I don't want her kneeling if she's going to be the master. She needs to be upright.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I modified mine to have like a fireball in her hand. There was like a fire accessories pack. I just chopped it off and put a fireball in there. And that's a lot nicer, but yeah, she takes up a ton of space. She looks fucking badass. It's just the bare skin. It also bothers me that she's armor one for basically boob coverage.
Yeah, she has boob armor. I mean, that's...
Don't want to go too deep to objectifying women, but the first edition was a lot better. I mean, no, not a lot better. A lot worse. A lot worse.
Yeah. A lot worse. Yeah, I have.
They basically better. They fixed all the sort of niggling, uncomfortable gripes I had for the skulls, but they kept some of the sexiness for the guys and I guess girls that want to play that. It's just not every woman has to be showing off a bunch of skin and cleavage.
Which was my concern with the metal tailor that I have. She basically just has underboob.
Ugh.
Like it's just all underboob for no real reason.
The weird thigh-high socks were raspy. It was uncomfortable. Disco raspy. Techno.
Yeah.
Rave raspy, sorry.
Yeah, she would just go into a rave. That's what they do. You just put, like, glow paint on her, and she's fine.
Lady Justice made me uncomfortable.
Yes. Lady Justice.
I didn't see the middle one for that one.
Yeah, you can look it up. Go ahead and look it up.
I'm guessing it's a lot worse than the current
one. I'll wait.
Yeah.
I will wait patiently.
No, we can keep going.
Let's keep.
Okay. So, number three, Karis. Number two, Ramos.
I don't understand how Ramos is so high on both of your lists. Because on his list, he's a three. And on your list, he's number two. And I don't understand it. I don't think he's that interesting.
You compare him with the rest of his box. And obviously, the only thing that isn't part spider...
Well, Joss is in there.
I'm sure he's part spider. They just haven't gotten around to making him a spider yet. But Joss just doesn't have the master type. I mean, if you're feeling an old dude, usually the old dude is in charge. It's something that your mind just immediately assumes, and that's correct.
Oh,
and
yeah, I just looked up Lady.
Yeah. And the nice thing is they gave him a mechanical spider to tinker with. To sort of show off that, yeah, he's the guy that makes these things, this is what he does. And for him being kind of a fairly bland looking person, they at least tried to do something with the wind whipping his coat and making it look weird. I'll shush you.
I mean, they could have done that more with Raspy to make hers more interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, even Marcus, his skirt is... more flowing than Mark II's raspy coat.
I just refuse
Ramos.
He's just not that interesting.
He really isn't, but in a faction with someone just standing there trying to punch someone who's cold, someone who is just
hot.
A dancer, and a dude without a shirt on.
I guess that's fair.
I mean...
He just doesn't appeal to me.
I guess also, how do you, if you want to keep Ramos as this slightly elderly gentleman who's behind all this stuff, how do you give him a dynamic sculpt? He's not going to be doing backflips.
I mean,
they did the best what they could while still keeping him an old dude that has a creepy infatuation with spiders. They gave him a spider to play with. The only gripe I have is that he's got a metal arm, and I wish they showed that off more.
Yeah, because I think, I'm trying to find the Mark I sculpt, I think that one shows it off more. Because he has like a little like fireball in his hand, rather than
yeah,
a spider.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah,
but yeah, like I believe he's a construct. Yeah, he's got to be a construct.
Yeah.
And if you just look at him, you don't know why he's a construct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm guessing the second release for Ramos, and he has, like, I'm guessing a Soulstone Miner coming out of the ground with, like, his hand just out that's all metal.
Cool.
And that one looks really cool. I like that one, but yeah. Anyways.
I also wish we could have Arachnids small enough that I could just cover him in Arachnids. I wanted to do that. Once I got his boxes, like, I'm dedicating at least three of these things just covering Ramos and his own spiders. Because it's probably how he sleeps.
Probably.
But they're too big. The one in his hand is micro-sized.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, process of elimination, my number one pick, is the vintage Rasputina.
Hmm. It is one of the more dynamic designs of the entire thing.
She
looks powerful.
Yeah, I
mean, she looks cool. No midriff. She got a bit of the thighs going on there, but I can forgive that. And you know what? Out of a group called the Arcanist, she's the only one that looks like a wizard.
That is true.
I think that's possibly the reason I put her in number one.
Yeah, like putting her next to the current Snowstorm, you're still gonna think this one is the master.
Yeah, and then everything else, it obviously doesn't look like masters at all as a part of her group.
Yeah.
I like that she's floating, too.
Yeah, that's nice.
I don't think she really has floating powers as far as I remember.
She's really slow, which I think that's why her all bundled up in cold makes more sense, because she's not moving very fast.
This one, she actually can't walk. She just floats everywhere.
Just so cold. She's so cold.
She kind of swims through the air. Arms out. Commanding presence. Probably takes up a lot of that base with that cloak. That cloak is nice.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
And with the plastic, I'm sure it's going to look great.
Oh, yeah. I'll try. I'm not going to spend a lot of money to try to get it, but I'll try it. I'll try and pick her up, especially whenever I actually get the box and the stuff to play her. She originally was going to be the first one I thought for Yarkness, and now she's probably going to be the last.
Mm-hmm. Cool, because all of her stuff just came out to really run her.
Well, it wasn't that for me. It was just, I kind of have a soft spot for the Ice Wizard kind of archetype.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got infatuated with the one lady in the magical faction that punches things.
That doesn't do any magic, yeah.
No.
She just gets angry.
And people are going to be like, well, she's got a cast action. I don't think that's how that works. I think they give cast actions to everything that doesn't fit under shooting or melee.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's like, this is, would reasonably not give a crap about cover. And the name of the thing is like, you looking at me. So obviously she's just taunting someone.
Yeah.
Cover isn't going to make it harder for her to taunt someone.
Well, yeah, and if they're talking about cast actions being magic, then the bells cast magic on the lure.
We'll save that joke for later.
Yeah, save that joke for later.
I came up with a reasonable explanation of how the lure from Rotten Bells works on everything.
I'll have to wait in here, because I'm not seeing it.
it'll make perfect sense, trust me.
I'm sure.
Maybe we'll do a bit. We'll do a bit or something. Alright, so, number 9, Iron Size. Number 8, Colette. Number 7, Rasputina, the current plastic one. Number 6, Marcus. Number 5, Mei Fang. Number 4, Mr. Cooper. Number 3, Karis. Number 2, Ramos. Number 1, the brand new vintage Rasputina. And, obviously, I'm right, you're all wrong, so that is the definitive list. Hey, look, every podcast I ever listen to, when someone tries to give an opinion, they're like, that's my opinion. I'm sorry if I've offended anyone. This is obviously not set in stone. I'm just not going to care. I'm going to be that guy. And be like, no, I'm right. You're wrong. Sorry. Yeah. Ironsides is the greatest Arcanist master of all time. You're just playing her wrong.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
I mean, as long as you don't need scheme runners and just need to go and play turf war.
Well, that's what you use your Willy for, running schemes.
He's not that very fast. He just throws.
Walk a 5.
It's an expensive it's 5-point mall. That's an expensive.
It's good. It's like, he's like 6 points.
Hey, my Kurligans have a walk of 5, and they're my scheme runners. Although they have the...
Unless you're running schemes to putting them, like, deep into enemy territory, then no.
Well,
you can bring something else for that. But whenever I run schemes, the most I'm going for is slightly into enemy territory. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I don't really scheme as much as I counter-scheme. He's very good at counter-scheming. Because he just blows shit up.
Well, yeah. That's perfect for that.
Do we have anything else to add to this list? Obviously, we'll go through all the factions and maybe get some other guests for those factions. Or bring Dave on and other guests, and we'll have 4 people trying to talk over each other instead of 3.
Great.
Right, we'll go ahead and end this segment and figure it out from there. Otherwise, any ideas for something you just want to talk about for half an hour?
I mean, the easiest thing is always, you know, what, like, your last game kind of thing, but you haven't played since the tournament, and I played kind of a random Ramos list I built.
Oh, how random?
I had Fire Gaming and Gunsmiths in it.
Oh, no. Yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah. And Raider just gave me this weird look, but it ended up being a pretty competitive game.
What did Raider play?
I was playing against, I never catch this guy's name. I know from listening to him and Raider talk that he's a lawyer playing Guild.
Uh-huh.
And he just started.
Oh, what's his butt?
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
So he's what's his butt until we...
until we figure out what his actual name is. He's just what's his butt the lawyer.
Yeah, but it was a pretty fun game. Don't discount the models that come in that 2-player box.
Oh, no, I don't discount them at all.
The nurse you get out of it?
Artsbane?
Yeah, can do straitjacket, which will prevent a model from moving if this goes off. He did that to Howard for the first 3 turns of the game.
Wow.
How did he get to you on the first turn, or did you bomb Howard in the first turn?
We were playing, the advanced deploy, the close counters or whatever.
Close deployment?
Close deployment, yeah. So we were, like, right there, so... Howard didn't move off the line, and he just moved that nurse up and went, hey, straitjacket, make a willpower test. And then he just flipped bonkers and burned red jokers.
Well, weren't you still able to hit the nurse back, or?
No, because it's a 10-inch cast.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I wasn't getting.
Yeah, he was hitting me from downtown with it, and yeah, Howard was stuck for 3 turns.
The hold stall deer.
That's sort of what happened to me in the tournament when I played with Mei Fang.
Mm.
But it was a nurse paralyzing Howard.
Yeah.
But that was after I managed to take out McMorning in one go. Actually, no, not one go. I did the very fun burn imbued energies, nimble over to McMorning and used 4 attacks with the flurry.
Mm. Oh, and then discarded imbued energies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I got him down. I didn't kill him. And for some reason, the guy didn't use his nurse to immediately fully heal.
Oh.
Big morning.
Oh. Okay.
So my next turn, I think I got him with, Joss, maybe?
Okay.
But then nurse just kept giving Howard meds.
Mm-hmm.
And so Howard was kind of useless for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I kind of regretted bringing the fire game when I brought. I should have brought the arcane effigy, because that has condition removal.
Yeah.
That would have helped a lot.
I bring Johan so much, I don't even think about condition removal. Would have been nice for that one game.
Yeah, but again, he does nothing with constructs, so... But that Relic Hammer is nice.
Very nice. But most of those stuff is MNSU, which he does do with. And the Johan with the Relic Hammer and handpicked men, and next to someone with the MNSU to give him the plus flip... is going double plus on the attack and triple plus on damage.
Ooh.
If you're up against a construct. I've never had a problem fighting Howard Langston for some reason.
Fighting against him?
Against him.
I'm not sure if I've really gone up against him.
I think in our demo game.
Oh, that was against you.
Yeah, that was...
No, I'm sorry, the Johan. going insane with Flurry and
oh.
all those plus flips. That was against you.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, bringing Howard in a demo game, that's just mean.
Well, Doug and I had a demo game against each other, and somebody gave you Howard and...
Okay, our first game, we played each other in, like, a Henchman Hardcore scenario. This is when we decided we wanted to play Malifaux. Raider gave me Joss, Howard, and two spiders, I think?
Okay.
Victoria was given...
Sybil and a bunch of bells?
And Bet.
And the Bet.
Okay.
Howard got one attack off, and then promptly got wrecked.
Yeah. I've absolutely gotten Howard wrecked multiple times.
Well, it was also, you know, luck of the flips, because she got the paralyze
yep.
off on twice with Bet.
I think so, yeah. I think it was the Bet and Sybil killed him. Because I know it was at least 2 miles.
I've had more luck fielding him than playing him. Well, no, playing him was... Okay, I was wrong. Anyway, so what was your full list for that?
It was kind of made up on the fly. It was Ramos, Joss... Let's see if I still have it in here. Malifaux Companion, here we go. Builder, there we go. Nope, that is Karish. That is not it. Nope, I don't have that one anymore. But the basics were Ramos, he had Combat Medic, the Screen, and I forgot what the third one was. It wasn't, the extra card. That I had Joss with Bleeding Edge Tech and Powered by Flame, because I kind of wanted a Flaming Death Bubble. Howard with Imbued Energies, because that's fantastic for him.
You don't say.
I had a Fire Gaiman. A gunsmith. I think that was it.
That sounds like a lot of points. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Jonathan Howard, that's almost half your points right there.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, and then Howard was stuck still for 3 turns. He brought McCabe with that nurse, 4 Guildhounds, Luna, and 2 of... Maybe there were trappers. There were trappers or guild riflemen, one of the two.
Guild Pathfinder?
Maybe?
If you combine those two?
Sure.
The dude in the bear suit.
No.
Okay.
These are two, like, guild dudes with guns.
I don't think it'd be trappers, because that's a bit meta for a guy who's just starting.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably rifleman.
Yeah, it could have been. And I let him proxy for the second rifleman.
Oh.
Because the other model he had wouldn't have fit with his list at all. So I'd really like to bring this. I'm like, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, proxy. That's
awesome. Yeah, that's my only rule for proxies is it can't be something that could viably be on your team.
Mm-hmm. Did that, and then, yeah, those two just focused and shot me all game. I almost lost Joss turn 1 because I forgot about all the guns and just kind of deployed out in the open.
Ouch.
And they were trying to pick him off before I could activate Ramos for his protection and for Joss with Vent Steam. Or not Joss, Howard and Steam to get my defenses up. It was just a cat and mouse game keeping Joss alive for the Burning Death Bubble.
Where are you running for schemes and strategy?
I was doing the one where you drop off the scheme markers 6 inches from their line, or from the middle into theirs. It's...
Undercover something?
Yeah, it's...
Breakthrough.
Yeah, Undercover Breakthrough. It was Undercover Honorage. And then I had Inspect, and I don't remember what the strategy was, but it wasn't scheme-based, and it wasn't Turf War.
It was about the basic.
It was off the new Gaining Grounds.
Gaining Grounds.
Yeah, 2016. But yeah, it ended up being he won, I think, 5-3, because I forgot that he might have had Undercover Honorage. And turn 5, he just ran Cabe all the way down from his side down to my deployment.
Ouch.
To get all 3 of his points, because it was going to be 2-3 my way.
2-3?
So,
I don't think I've ever had a game that go that low.
Most of my games end up being that way. I think I just play very defensively. So,
okay.
Like, points just don't flow through until, like, late game. But yeah, it was a really good game. Raider was impressed that a single hound took out a gunsmith, but the hound got 3 attack actions before the gunsmith could activate.
Huh.
Because I had already activated the gunsmith, he ran the hound around, attacked, activated it first, and finished off the gunsmith. Because I was doing a inspection on the 2 corners.
Yeah.
So I had a fire gamin and the gunsmith out on the ends, and they both got taken out eventually.
Ouch.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it was just a spider summoning death bubble in the middle, trying to keep everyone engaged so I could do my scheme running.
Okay.
Which almost worked.
And how much experience have you had with Ramos?
I'm not a huge fan of Ramos. I've never been a big fan of, like, summoning crews. Because I feel like then that's all that Master does, is just sits back and summons.
It's a different play style. It can be, if you get lucky, it can be really not fun to play against.
Yeah. Which I think that's why I gravitated more towards Mayfang and Ironsides, because they were more...
hitting things?
Yeah, they were get-up-in-your-face, more killy-based ones, because that's what I was used to from War Machine. I say, if I kill everything, I can't lose, right? You can still totally lose, but yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll move on to Victoria's most recent game.
Yeah.
Because we can sit here and chat about the nuances of the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For hours.
Yeah.
If we wanted to. But no one wants to hear us for that long.
No, not at all.
Victoria, your most recent game.
I played against your friend Matt. Our friend Matt.
Our friend Matt.
Matt.
Yeah. His name is Matt. He's kind of a casual war gamer. He's got kind of his fingers in sort of several games.
Okay.
I managed to get him interested in Malifaux. He's got a good amount of models that he hasn't put together or painted. He's got enough for a crew.
Yeah.
Just Pandora.
Okay.
So, he played Pandora against me, obviously, with a Teddy.
Yes.
He brought a Teddy as well.
Yep.
I played the only Master I've ever played. I took Seamus. And with him, I took Sybil and I think 2 or 3 Bells.
And a Hanged.
And a Hanged. And a couple of Krilligans. And then I also had the Bet. I had so many models.
Nice.
Yeah. I was going to try to take some Punk Zombies, but I ran out of points.
So, I think it was Turf War.
Mm-hmm.
Corner Deployment.
Yep.
And Schemes. I know one of the Schemes you took was...
I took Breakthrough and Line in the Sand.
Okay. I don't remember what Matt took. Matt doesn't take games very seriously, so...
No, he doesn't. He's fun to play, though.
Yeah. He's a nice guy to play.
He's pretty laid back.
So how'd your game go?
I know I won, I think, like, 5-0. No. I got all my points.
10.
10. And Matt got, like, 5 or 6,
I believe. I think both of you scored fully on Turf War.
Mm-hmm.
You got all your Lie in the Sand and Breakthrough.
And my Breakthrough, yeah.
And I think he took Lie in the Sand, but he didn't get any points for it.
No, because he was too busy being paranoid.
Learning how to play.
Yeah, learning how to play and being paranoid about my Hanged.
Yeah, Hanged and Teddy met
at
the basically beginning of the second turn. And then neither of them lasted very long.
No. I managed to... off the Teddy, and then...
He killed your Hanged, and you popped the Bet out.
No, the Teddy killed my Hanged. And then the Bet came out and finished off the Teddy. That's how that went. But Teddy didn't last long either.
No, you both understood how dangerous the model was. I watched, I tried not to get involved. I didn't, like, shout anything, because both of them kind of forgot that triggers were a thing halfway through the game.
Oh.
Yes, we did.
What?
Well,
but you had fun.
Whatever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely done that.
Which was my big thing with that game. I was looking to have fun.
Matt, he took a liking to Pandora, but Pandora is not something you really want to start off with, I would suggest. It's a much more subtle Master, and you need some other things to go with it, I think, to really make it function, because the Sorrows don't do a ton. They're just, from what I know, they're supposed to sort of hang around and make the damage you take from failing willpower is even more
higher,
painful.
Yeah. Oh, I took one of his upgrades, which wasn't...
But his list, I believe, was the entire Pandora box and a Teddy. I'm not sure if he... I think that might have just been it.
Yeah, that was his entire list. What did I take that had the... Oh, I took the Sinister Reputation, which has, like, a cast action on it.
Yeah.
And I totally forgot to use it against the Sorrows and the Poltergeist, since that's, like, the only thing that does full damage on them.
Were you paying attention at all?
Me?
Yeah.
I just don't know Rezzers.
Okay, well, Seamus has his big gun, and then a pretty pathetic melee attack. And his thing is to sort of teleport around and shoot stuff. One of his limited upgrades lets him gives him a cast action, and the Sorrows and Poltergeist that Pandora runs with are incorporeal. And she was having a bit of a hard time killing them because she didn't have any cast actions except for the one thing Seamus had, and she didn't remember that.
I totally forgot about the entire game. Still managed to kill, like, all but one of his Sorrows, though, so that went okay, I guess.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Beyond my need to start playing different people?
Well, now you've got enough stuff to actually play Molly.
Yeah.
And you love Molly. My game, which I'm going to talk about, I'm not going to talk about the Song of Ice and Fire tournament at all, because I didn't do very well on that.
I didn't.
One game was just my deck hated me. Like, it was I had Ironsides versus the Vix, and I put a lot of resources into killing one of the Vix, and it just didn't go off. That was frustrating. But anyways, the game I want to talk about was my quote-unquote ludicrous list, which might be a segment, I don't know, where I just field a silly thematic or whatever list and try my hardest with it. And this was a Ironsides gun line. Not terribly silly, but it's what I had all the models for. So it was Ironsides with, I think, all upgrades, but the only one of note was Flaming Bottle, Message from the Union.
Yeah, I've never got that one to really work.
Which no one ever brings with Ironsides.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be a gunline list for Arcanist, so she needs a gun of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was her, two gunsmiths, two December Acolytes, and three Oxfordian mages.
Mm.
So there's a whole lot of shooting. Or yeah. Casting. Or kind of shooting. And this was Brian Mayer, the guy I played, and I told him it was just kind of a fun what if list. So he brought Ma Tucket, Trixie Belle, Bert Jepsen, Mancha Roja, Lenny, and someone else, because I had actually more models than he did, and he was playing Gremlins.
That's weird.
This is going to bug me if I don't remember what it is. A Slop Hauler. Slop Hauler was number six. And he put a lot of effort into killing Ironsides, and she just wouldn't die. And so I just did all the killing with everyone else, and ended up being, I actually tailed him turn four, which is not fun. It's not fun for anyone. I mean, he still kind of enjoyed it, and it was interesting to try out the list, but I don't like tabling anyone.
No, that's never a good experience for anybody.
But surprisingly decent list. No one ever used the handpicked men, because the only person that was getting injured turn one and two was Ironsides. And then maybe a gunsmith maybe got a shot off with it. But then Ironsides was my first model to die. By that time, I had gotten rid of a good portion of his list. That's already scoring a standard deployment Headhunter. I took Not Land in the Sand was a new one, Convict Labor.
Okay.
And I don't remember what else I took. Whatever's the kill the leader thing. It's not assassinated. What was it now?
What is that? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Keep wanting to say Slay the Warlord.
yeah.
Neutralize the leader?
Leader? That sounds about right.
Yeah, I took that on him because I knew Ma was going to be coming in, and he took it on me because it's Ironsides. Everyone kills Ironsides.
Yeah, she'll be up front.
So there was a nice little epic battle second turn that was Ma versus Ironsides, and I had the Nemesis Ward on one of my mages, and I never used it. I still managed to survive, and I did a lot of damage back to Ma, because I was always putting out tomes when I could, or stoning for tomes. And then I set her on fire repeatedly, and she died.
Yeah, that works.
Well, that was my ludicrous list. I'm going to hopefully do something sillier next time.
Yeah.
If my opponent will allow it, I want to do Marcus and then all Malifaux Raptors. They're technically rare three, but I want to field, like, 16 of them.
Just for a fun game?
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming you just make Marcus into Super Beast mode? And just bother things and have Marcus clean everything up.
He'll be the scheme runner, because the opponent will be filled with birds.
Yeah. That would be incredibly annoying.
Kind of. I mean, they're decent. They're easy to... They don't do a lot of damage. They're defense 6, but they only have, like, 3 wounds.
Yep.
So if I'm sure someone would be willing to take them on, and they'll bring, like, crit or some asshole with blasts.
Yeah, I was going to say, just bring all the blasts and clean up.
All right. I got nothing else to talk about. We'll make this a segment.
Sure.
And it'll be a decent-sized recording
All right. For
our first one. As poorly sidetracked as we get. Thank you very much, Dave, for doing this with us. Hope to have you on at another point. Got anything else to say?
No, it's been fun.
Dorian?
Not really anything to add.
Ooh, I have a tagline.
We have a tagline.
Do it.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Steam Powered Scoundrels. And remember, fun is always king. Jeez. What?
Yeah, that works.
I want to put an emphasis on, you know, fun. Instead of beating the piss out of your opponent and making them cry.
How else can you learn if I don't touch your soul first?
Literally any other way is a better way to learn.
Hi, everyone. It's Doug from the slightly more recent past. Thanks for sticking with us for the entire thing. I know it was probably hard to get through in some spots, but hey, we're learning. It's a rough first episode, but we want to keep doing it, and we want to make it more entertaining. So please drop us a comment or tell us what kind of segments you want to see us do. We're not ones for doing really meta-type stuff, but anything else, we're probably game. If you want to get a hold of us, contact me on the forums. I am Kaiser Senpai. Or send us an email at spsmalifaux@gmail.com. Or check our Facebook page, which we should have up by the time this episode's out. Look for Steam Powered Scoundrels. Thank you again. Bye.